This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. If you want to know how the internet has changed the flow of information during war, consider the story of my guest, Salam Pax. Since a few months before the start of the war in Iraq, he's kept an internet weblog, a blog, of his experiences and observations in Baghdad. He didn't expect many people to read it, but he was wrong. It was mentioned in news reports and caught on in places around the world. Since he was criticizing Saddam Hussein's regime, he couldn't use his real name, so he wrote under the pen name Salam Pax, combining the Arabic and Latin words for peace. His love of Western pop culture led some readers to wonder if he was truly an Iraqi. But the British paper, The Guardian, tracked him down in Baghdad and, with his permission, started printing his pieces in the paper. Now his blogs are about to be published in book form in the U.S. under the title Salam Pax, The Clandestine Diaries of an Ordinary Iraqi. Salam Pax is in London this week doing publicity for his book. Before we meet him, let's talk with Ian Katz, the features editor at The Guardian, who brought Salam Pax's weblog to his paper. How did you find out about Salam's blog?
Well, I actually came to it quite late. A couple of my colleagues had been reading it fairly regularly. And a couple of days, probably 2 or 3 days before the war, one of them sent me a whole chunk of it and said, you just have to read this. And I sat down and read it, and it was this extraordinarily compelling account of life in Baghdad in the run-up to the bombing, of all the detailed preparations that people were making, of the changing cost of a ride to the Syrian border, of people bringing down the shutters on their shops. And it was just the most compelling thing I'd read on Iraq in the whole run-up to the war. So I then went, looked at the website and sat down for probably 2 or 3 hours and virtually read the whole thing.
How did his reports compare to what your reporters were saying about what was going on in Iraq?
Well, I think there were 2 or 3 things that were instantly striking. The first was that here was an Iraqi who was plainly telling it exactly as he saw it. I mean, I've reported from Iraq a few times myself in the past, and in fact come away more than once after a week or two in Baghdad thinking that I didn't have a clue what people thought, because they're speaking in such incredibly difficult circumstances. I mean, you know, until we often forget that until the war, any Western journalist, any journalist working in Baghdad was working with a Mukhabarat minder, and so no one in the right mind was going to say exactly what they thought. And suddenly you picked up this blog, and here was Salam describing things that you wouldn't imagine any Iraqi talking about. I mean, I remember reading about him at one point saying that he just heard that there were going to be presidential elections and saying, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. Just the sort of comment you wouldn't get in a report from a Western correspondent in Baghdad. I remember another where he talked about noticing that ditches had been dug around the city and speculating that the regime was likely to burn oil in them to create a sort of smokescreen, something that actually did happen later in the war. Well, you know, there's no way any Iraqi would have talked to you about that and would have talked to a Western journalist, because it would have been suicidal to do so. So the first thing that was really striking was that you had someone speaking very, very freely, and being in quite a thinly veiled way critical of the regime. And I'd say the other thing that struck me instantly was that Salam was clearly a type of Iraqi who we'd have very little exposure to. One slightly felt, reading the reporting, that however good the reporting, that Iraqis tended to be kind of pigeonholed or tended to be depicted as kind of slightly hysterical, rather desperate, always fearful, never kind of light-hearted, funny, or sort of Western in their sensibilities. And Salam was all those things. I mean, suddenly you had this Iraqi who one moment was talking about the coming war, the next moment was talking about massive attack and how he wished they'd get on with it and release their next album. Who had, you know, who would talk about listening to his Coldplay albums, who would refer to articles in The Economist, who loved The New Yorker. And it just, it was like hearing a voice that was similar to your own, and I think that added to the appeal of it.
So how did you trace Salam Pax's identity? It's something a lot of his readers wanted to do but were incapable of.
Well, the truth is, we got lucky. I think we one of the journalists at The Guardian had actually had contact with Salam before we published his first extracts of his blog, and in fact, we'd asked then if we could write something about him, and Salam had urged him not to. I think feeling that it was one thing to write what you felt on the internet, but that once foreign newspapers started reporting it, it would place him in real danger. So actually, we had held fire the first time. We then didn't hear from him for quite a long time, and no one heard from him because he didn't post on the web for probably at least 6 weeks, I think, during the war. But when he finally did come back at the end of the war and post a kind of catch-up on the war, one of the things he mentioned in a very offhand remark was that one of the characters, one of his friends, and one of the regular characters in the blog, who goes by the name of G in the blog, had done some translation work for The Guardian. So what we immediately did was mailed all the Guardian correspondents who'd been in Iraq and said, look at this description, look at this guy G, can you figure out who it is? Because if we can get to G, then we're one step away from Salam. And happily, G was quite a forceful personality who most correspondents in Baghdad remembered. So we got to him pretty quickly. And then happily, Salam agreed to meet us. And we ran an interview with him fairly soon after that.
So were you confident when you met Salam Pax that he really was Salam Pax? I mean, the thing on the internet is you never really know who anyone is if they're, you know, they could say they're somebody and really be somebody else.
Well, I mean, Salam Pax isn't Salam Pax. That's a
well, you know what I mean.
What I was confident of, and I was confident of it a long time before I met him. I mean, I only met him physically for the first time about 2 weeks ago when he came to London. But what I was confident of virtually from the off was that, you know, this was someone sitting in Baghdad, because I've spent enough time in Baghdad and read enough about Baghdad to just have a feel that this was someone who was writing about what they were looking at. The level of detail was staggering. And, you know, from what we've seen of the performances of intelligence agencies in recent years, they would be doing a lot better than they have done of late if they'd managed to create something with this level of verisimilitude. So while not knowing exactly who he was, I was satisfied very early on that this was someone writing from Baghdad. And in a way, we felt initially that that was enough.
Ian Katz, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks, Terry.
Ian Katz is the features editor of The Guardian. He wrote the introduction to the new book, Salam Pax, The Clandestine Diaries of an Ordinary Iraqi, and it's the weblog of Salam Pax.